Why would God need to guide you and me? Why do we need guidance? I'll tell you why. Because if left to ourselves, all we like sheep have gone astray. If left to ourselves, we go astray. Every time. And you know what we go astray to? Our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. My way. My way or the highway? My way. When God is not involved in our life, we go our way. We do our own thing. We do what we think is right. We do what we think is, we don't do what we think is wrong. But our compass is skewed. Because the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a person, but it leads to death. Because our natures are fallen, tainted by the fall of Adam, tainted by sin. So as well and good as our intentions might be, we stray. And high IQ people make dumb decisions. All the time. We all do. How many of you can say, when I had no shepherd, I went astray? Right? You make bad decisions. You make life-altering decisions. You make decisions you regret later on in life when you go your own way. Now, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So what does a shepherd do? He's only a shepherd because he's leading sheep. And the psalmist said, if you follow him, he's going to lead you to still, quiet waters and to pastures of tender grass. In other words, it's good what the shepherd leads us to. If we reject the shepherd, then we're hooked up with the devil and our own flesh. And every time, the devil's going to destroy you, wreak havoc in your life, lead you into decision-making that is terrible, and you're going to rue the day you ever followed the way of the world, the broad way that leads to destruction. So it's very important for you and I to know the guidance of God, especially in the hour we're living in that is crazy, confused, mixed up, damaging, destructive. And so I've been doing a series on living under God's guidance. And today I want to talk to you about maybe the most important, well, not the most important part, but this is so crucial. The crucial importance of waiting on God to guide you. Waiting. I don't even like the word. I like going. I don't like waiting. But if you're going to get God's guidance, we've got to learn the fine art of waiting patiently on God. So let's read Psalms 40, verse 1. I waited. How did he wait? How? Patiently for the Lord. And look what happened. He inclined to me, heard my cry. And look at the miracle that happened. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. But he didn't stop there. He set my feet on a rock. But he didn't stop there. He established my steps. But he didn't even stop there. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. And then there was a result of that. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. In other words, people are going to be impacted by what God did because you waited on him. Wow, that's a mouthful, right? Lord, thank you for your word. How we need to learn to be patient and wait on God. Now, Lord, put wisdom in us today. We need wisdom. We got so much knowledge, so little wisdom. Give us wisdom. Give us the wisdom of God to walk wisely, circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, would you breathe a prayer, dear church, and say, Lord, today, teach me to wait on your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, give God a minute. Amen. Now, just a quick little recap, because we've had a break where I wasn't here, and so we lost a little bit of the rhythm. But let me just give you a quick recap of what we've covered so far. We were mainly in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where trust in the Lord with all your heart. So here's what we've learned. If you're going to experience God's guidance, it begins with trust. You will never follow a God you don't trust. It begins with trust, all right? Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. I'm sorry, I missed it. All of your heart, right? So even with that, whatever that is to you and me, that one thing we really have a hard time trusting God with, even that, you trust Him. Second, acknowledge Him. That means at every juncture, at every fork in the road, every decision I make, I acknowledge the lordship of Christ over my life. And that means He's the boss applesauce, right? He's the boss. So I acknowledge Him. Lord, I've got a decision in front of me, but I'm not going to make this without You. I'm asking You to give me wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And He will give it to you liberally. And He won't rebuke you for asking. God wants to give wisdom, so we acknowledge Him. Third, we looked at what some of the signposts are of God's guidance. How do I know God's guiding me? What does it look like? What are some of the things I can look for to know that it is God directing me? You know, what is it that lets me know I'm on the right track? Because there are signs that God is guiding you. If you missed any of those, if you go to our website at tpcfamily.org, it's in the archives. You can go to all these messages and watch or listen to the archives and catch up. Because every one of these messages, 3 weeks worth now, build on the other. So if you miss one, you kind of miss a building block. So go look them up if you missed them. Now today, as I've already said, I want to talk to you about the crucial importance of waiting. Waiting patiently on God. When you read the Psalms, there's no doubt about it, David talked all the time about waiting on God. With every decision he made, he waited on God. He inquired of the Lord about whatever, and then he waited on God to answer him. There's so many Psalms about it. He waited on God. He didn't move till God said move. It saved his life. Over and over, Saul and his army, the army of Israel, were on the hunt for David. David was stalked for 10 years by an insane king. And what saved his life was inquiring of the Lord and waiting on God to guide him. Do I go here? Do I go there? Are they coming to get me here? Lord, do I stay here? Do I hide here? Do I go there? And God guided him every time, and it saved his life. God's guidance can literally save your life. That little nudge in your heart, that little sense that God is telling you something, warning you about something, guiding you about something, guiding you and warning you about that person or that place or that thing. And God's guidance will save you many tears, many heartaches, and can even save your life on this planet. How many of you feel like God's guidance has at least once in your life saved your life? Look at all these people. Amen. Psalms 27:14, wait in faith on the Lord, writes David. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait how, everybody? Patiently for the Lord. So he not only tells us to wait, but he tells us how to wait. The attitude we're to wait in. We're not to wait impatiently. We're not to act rashly. But we're to wait patiently in faith on God to act on our behalf. The Bible is filled with stories of those that waited on God. Noah waited on God 120 years for the flood. That's a long time. From the time God told him to the time the flood came was 120 years. But he waited. Moses waited to see the promised land. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac to come. 25 years. Jonah waited 3 long days and nights in the belly of a whale. Can't wait much longer in the belly of a whale. Daniel waited all night long in the lion's den with hungry lions looking at him, salivating, but not biting him. That was the longest night of his life. Israel waited for the coming of the Messiah, centuries. They waited. The disciples waited on the Holy Spirit in the upper room. They waited. They waited on God. Paul and Silas waited in the Philippian jail. And God did a miracle and sent an earthquake and let them out. But they waited, they waited, they waited, they waited. All these people waited. And we ourselves, we wait all the time, don't we? We're in a world that forces us to wait. Like you go to the doctor, you are seated in the waiting room. And they're telling you the truth. You're going to wait. I wish there was a short waiting room. Or a room called the quick waiting room. Or how about the no wait room? But there's the waiting room. And they're always true to what they tell you, because in the doctor's office, you wait, person after person after person called before you. And have you ever looked at how they look at you when they're finally called? It's like, I'm going in and you're not. We wait in restaurants to be waited on. And then once we're waited on, we wait for the food. Amen. We wait in traffic. We wait for red lights to turn green. We wait at train stops. Some people can't wait and they're not with us anymore. Your life is worth 2 minutes of wait. We wait, workers wait for the weekend. Families wait for vacation. And listen, every Christian on the planet must learn to wait on God. Wait on God. We must wait on God. Have you ever noticed His timing is not yours? Can I have a better amen than that? His timing is not yours. Have you ever looked up at God and said, where are you? What's up? Don't you see what's going on down here? His timing is not ours. God says, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I'm nothing like you. You can't plumb the depths of my thoughts. My ways are impossible to find out, Paul said. How inscrutable are His ways? They're past finding out. God's timing is almost never mine. I'm always waiting when I would be going if God wasn't making me wait. I want to get to it. But sometimes God wants you to wait so He can prepare you for what He's going to take you to. And that is so very important. So very important. When I first came to the Lord and got filled with the Holy Spirit and got really, really set on fire for God, the fire to preach came into my heart. And it was burning on the inside. I wanted to preach so bad, but there was no doors to open. I couldn't figure out, why do I have this desire and no outlet? So I'm going to tell you the truth about me. You can go out and tell people this too. I used to go into the woods and preach to the squirrels. I would go in there and just preach, just say it, because I had to let it out. I am convinced today there's saved squirrels out there because I preached. When I had no outlet, I just had to let it out. And I didn't understand it, but now I see when God is going to do something strong in your life, there's always a preparation leading up to it. And you're going to need that preparation. You're going to need what you learn when you step into what God has for you. Because you think you're ready now, and God knows you and I are not. So He will prepare you in the shadows before He sticks you in the limelight. Now, in our opening text, we see that David, we don't know what he's going through, but he's going through an incredible trial. We don't know what it is. I searched to find out. All you can do is guess. The Psalms 40 doesn't tell us what he was going through. But we do know it was severe. It was a great trial. It was a crushing trial. And he looked for metaphors to describe it. And he said, here it is. It's like I'm in a horrible pit. You ever been in a horrible pit? He said, I'm in the equivalent of a horrible pit. Like when they threw Joseph down into the pit and he couldn't crawl out or climb out on his own. When you're in a horrible pit, you can't get out on your own. A pit of addiction, a pit of depression, a pit of despair, a pit of confusion, a pit of hurt, and you can't get out. If God doesn't lift you out, you're not coming out. And so he said, I'm in a horrible pit. That's the only way I know to describe it. He said, one more metaphor is like sinking in quicksand, miry clay. Slime pits and quicksand-like pits were all over the wilderness of the Israel area. And if you fell in one, the more you struggled, the deeper down you went until it covered you completely up and you were gone. David said, this trial is like I'm in a horrible pit and I am not going to get out on my own. And it's like I'm in sinking quicksand. If somebody doesn't grab my hand, I'm going down. So he called out on God. And we know from the psalm that for whatever reason, God's own reasons, God did not immediately answer him. God will let us wait so we'll learn to trust. So we'll learn to place faith in him. So we'll learn to stay cool, even in red-hot circumstances. He'll teach us. So it says David cried out. I cried out to the Lord. I'm crying out. I waited patiently for the Lord. All I had left was to wait. I cried out. Nothing happened, so I waited patiently. Kept on praying, kept on believing, kept on trusting, and I waited patiently. Now, the first thing I see from this psalm, and there's many lessons, but I'm going to just pull three. The first thing I see is delay was not denial. Delay was not denial. God delayed. And I don't know about you, but sometimes God's delays in my own life have perplexed me. Sometimes we don't understand why he delays. But sometimes he does. But delay doesn't mean he's denying you. Delay doesn't mean he's not hearing you. Delay doesn't mean he's not moving behind the scenes in ways that you and I don't see. Matter of fact, God's moving right now in your life and mine in ways that we don't know anything about. He's preparing a table before us in the very presence of our enemies, and our cup is going to run over. God is always moving. But most of what God does, we're completely oblivious to. We see through a glass darkly. We don't know what God's doing most of the time unless he chooses to show us. So God was moving as David prayed, but he didn't see it. And then finally, God broke through. God broke through. And it says, even though he waited for a season of time and had to trust God, God finally answered. He answered powerfully, and he answered beautifully, and he answered memorably because it became a psalm. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. Look what God did. He pulled me out of a pit I'd have never gotten out of on my own. Can I have an amen here today? Come on, everybody. You ever been in a real pit? Have you ever been in a pit that you know I'm not getting out if God doesn't get me out, but then suddenly God got you out? Matter of fact, most of you here today wouldn't be here if he hadn't pulled you out of a pit. But I love what God did next. Oh, it's so instructive. Look what he did. He pulled him out of the pit. Then he placed him on solid rock. He stabilized his life. But then he established his steps. That is guidance. Guidance. He put his feet in the direction his life should go. And if you don't know what to do with your life, let me tell you something. Go to the foot of the cross. Ask Christ to forgive you. Give him your life. Give him your heart. Give him your all. And he will put you. He'll do the same thing. He'll stabilize your life. And he'll guide your life in the most fruitful, blessed, fulfilling path you'll ever know. I love that. He established my steps. And then he filled me with the joy of a new song. And what God did with me, says David, others saw it and they put their trust in the Lord because of what God did with me. You and I are an open book to some people. You don't realize how many people do watch you once they know you're a Christian. And when they see you in a pickle, in a fix, in a problem, and you trust God and he pulls you out of the pit and he stabilizes you and he establishes your steps and he puts a happy song in your mouth, they want to know how that happened to you because they know you didn't smoke something, drink something, or shoot something to get there. What did that? The Lord did it. It's the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. But God did all these things because David waited patiently on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. Interesting thing here in the Hebrew language, that word patiently, it can be rendered this way. I waited and waited. I waited and waited. Or I waited waitingly. In my waiting, I waited. You get the idea? He's waiting. Or here's one. In waiting, I waited. In hoping, I hoped. In waiting, I waited. Now, when the Hebrew uses two words like that or emphasizes a word twice, it's stressing the intensity with which he waited. He's waiting. In his waiting, he's waiting. I waited and waited. But I didn't wait with a bad attitude. I didn't wait in my waiting badly. See, we need to catch from this. It's not that he waited, it's how he waited. That's the stress of the psalm. It's not that he waited, it's how he waited. Because it's how you wait that makes the difference in the end. Because, listen, many Christians wait for God to move with their arms folded, tapping their foot, looking at their watch. Where are you, God? Don't you realize what time it is? You look in the mirror. Don't you see I'm getting older? Some of you that are dating and not married yet, don't you see what's happening to me? I'm waiting in my waiting, Lord. I'm sick of waiting. I wish you'd go ahead and just do something and bring my prince or my princess. What's taking so long? You wait that way. Now, that's not the way you wait. That's not the way you wait. You wait on God patiently. That's talking about attitude. That's attitudinal. We're to wait in faith and trust, not in patience and unbelief. We wait in our waiting knowing he can't lie. He can't fail me. He's not going to walk out on me. He's not going to abandon me. He's not going to leave me standing here stupid. It says, the Bible says, when you put your hope in God, it never leaves you feeling ashamed. Because you know that God's going to come through. He's going to answer. He cannot not answer his promises. He can be depended on. So everybody say with me, in waiting, he waited with a great attitude. Now, the second thing I see here is that timing is everything. God's timing is everything. Church, please catch this now. Please watch this. Our God, the God that saved you, the God that sent his son, even the sending of his son was on a timer. It says in the Bible, in the fullness of time, at the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman. Our God is a God of exquisite, perfect timing. Every promise of God in your life and mine has a timer attached to it. To everything, says Solomon, to everything there is a season. Now, look up there. The Greek word is kairos, and here's what it means, a fitting time. To everything in your life and mine, in God's purpose, there's a fitting time for it. You get that? So if there's a fitting time, there's a non-fitting time. There's a time you should have it, and there's a time you shouldn't. There's a time you should be there, and there's a time you're getting prepared to be there, but you're not ready to be there yet. There's a fitting time. Then he says, to everything there is a time. That's chronos. And that means an hour when it will commence. An hour when it will begin. What are you praying about? What is it in your life you're needing God's guidance? You're praying about something big, something major, a decision you've got to make. It can be a relationship. It can be a business deal. It can be where you live. It can be a job. It can be who you're running with. It could be a million things. You're wondering, what is God's will? And I want his will. I want to be in the epicenter of his will. Am I talking to anybody here today? I want to be in the epicenter of his will. I want to know that I'm in the eye of the will of God. I want to know that I'm there. All right. He's saying, for every purpose God has for you and me, there is a fitting time and an hour of commencement. And you don't want it till then. You don't want it till then. And when his fitting time comes and his hour of commencement, you can mark it down. It will be clear. It'll be marked by God's peace. God's word will sanction it. and God's confirmations will accompany it. You'll know that you know that you know. Here it is. This is what I'm to step into. Until then, we wait patiently. You know, as a boy, I used to love to crawdad hunt. I loved every day. It was just my day to get up and go down to the creek behind our house and crawdad hunt. Now, if you don't know what a crawdad is, I'm sure there's maybe at least two people here that don't know what it is. I'll tell you quick. It's a miniature lobster. It's a Texas lobster. They're just like little lobsters. And they have pinchers that work. And so I used to go down, and I learned early on, 6 years old, 7 years old, that when you see the crawdad, he's already seen you. And he'll kick his tail, and it kicks up mud, and he makes a beeline for the nearest crawdad hole under the water. So before you know it, clear water is all muddy. Now, here's what I learned early on. I'm really smart. I learned never try to grab a crawdad when the water is muddy. Because you won't grab him. He will grab you. And you'll come out with a crawdad hanging on your finger. That happened to me. And he would not let go. And my finger was bloody. And I learned a great big lesson. Never grab a crawdad in muddy water. Now listen, you wait for the water to clear. And then you go for him. It's the same thing with God's guidance. Listen, never make a major decision when the water's muddy. Wait for the water to clear. God will clear it. God will clear it. He will. God will clear the water. The more you pray, the more he will remove from your sight all the various options that are there. He'll remove them. And before long, after you prayed a while and waited on God, he will isolate and put in front of you that one thing that is still remaining. He will sift through everything else and show you, there it is. And the water is clear. The water is clear. Go with it. Don't go with it. Make that step. Don't make that step. Decide for that. Don't decide for that. Turn left, not right. That's your job. That's who I want you to see. That's the decision I want you to make. Everything else has been moved away and sifted away by the Spirit of God. He'll isolate his will. Lamentations 3:25, it's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Saul learned this the hard way. King Saul never really did learn to obey God. He never learned to walk with God. He never learned to walk in obedience. So here's King Saul. King Saul is going to go to the battle with the Philistines. And he's got his army with him. And Samuel says to King Saul, go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you. You must wait how long, everybody?
7 days.
Until what? I come to you and tell you what you're to do. I'm going to give you the guidance of God, Saul, but you've got to wait 7 days. Saul at first did what Samuel said. In 1 Samuel 13, Saul and his army are kicking back and they're waiting. But when the seventh day rolled around, as soon as that seventh day arrived, he hears that his army is saying, you know what? We're done. We're full of fear. We don't want to fight them. We're out of here. He starts listening to them. Pressure comes in and stress comes in. And he made a fatal decision. Where's Samuel? Well, he's not here yet. Well, it's still the seventh day, but he's not here yet. So, he offered the prophet's sacrifice he wasn't authorized to offer. And Samuel came along soon after, said to him, you've done a foolish thing. You've not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You should have been patient. You should have waited. You shouldn't have presumed or assumed that you were to do a certain thing till you had the clear. The water was still muddy when he made this decision. Emotions were high. Anxiety was high. His men were walking away. So he made the decision. He failed the test. And the cost of that bad decision was high. His rash actions caused him, you ready, to lose the kingdom. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and he's given it to a neighbor of yours," the neighbor being David. If he had waited just a few more hours, a few more, his future swung on the hinge of a few hours. But you didn't wait. And so now you've lost the kingdom. And everything went downhill from there. Tough stuff. But here's what the Apostle Paul tells us. These things happen to them as examples for you and me, that we would look and learn and not make the same mistakes. So everybody say, wait patiently. I'm going to give you one last thing. And this is really, really something I hadn't thought of till this week. While waiting for him, wait on him. While waiting for, because there's a difference between waiting for and waiting on. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, what happens to them? They renew their strength. They mount up with wings as eagles. They run and are not weary. They walk and are not faint. So there is waiting for, but while you're waiting for God to act on your behalf, wait on the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Seek the Lord. Let me give you some ways to wait upon the Lord. You know, sometimes we got to get off of our do nothing and do something. A lot of people just live on their do nothing until God does something. But listen, while you're waiting, wait upon. Wait upon the Lord. You can wait on him by seeking him. You can wait on him by praising him. Lord, I'm going to praise you while I'm waiting. I don't see what's going on, but I trust you, and I'm going to praise you before I ever see the answer. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you a praise before you ever show up. You can wait for him while you're waiting for him to act on your behalf. Glorify him. Wait on him by serving him. There's 100 things you can do while waiting for the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Always be abounding in the work of the Lord, insomuch as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's things you can do for unto him, seeking him, honoring him, growing deeper in him, learning more about him, waiting on him while you're waiting for him. Instead of sitting around brooding, where is God? I don't understand what's going on. Set your sights on him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Because chances are, the reason he's waiting to move on your behalf is he wants your roots going deeper. So you put the roots deeper by waiting on him while you wait for him. Get up and saturate yourself in that word. Get up and spend hours in prayer. Seek the face of God. Wait on the Lord. And what you're waiting for will come when his time is right. Let's stand together. Say with me, delay is not denial. Timing is everything. And while waiting for him, wait on him. I like that. I like that. The Lord is there. He's waiting for you and me. You know, people say, well, I'm waiting on God. Well, sometimes he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. He wants to get the roots deeper. We think we're ready to take the world. We're not even ready to take our own house yet. Right? So God will put the roots deep. We need those deep roots. Because when the storms come, the tree with the deep roots is the tree that survives. And folks, storms are a-coming in this nation and in our world. And I want to see Christians with roots. 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 So how does your root system look in your spiritual life? If we could have a picture of it up there and we could see sort of a three-dimensional thing with the roots going down in the ground, are your roots deep? Are they kind of shallow? Would a strong wind blow the tree over easy? Or would the roots keep you in survival mode? Amen? Let's pray together, can we? Father, we need to know the guidance of God. We need to learn to wait patiently on you. God, some prayers come up while I'm praying right now. Just some prayers come up, please. Because there's people that need to pray. There's people that really need strength and encouragement today. Hurting people. Distressed. Confused. Not knowing where to go. Come pray with somebody in just a moment. Because we want to agree with you today. But Father, we come to you as a church, as a congregation. And how we need, Lord. How we need those deep roots. And know how to wait patiently without getting mad at God, picking up our marbles, going home, getting out of church, walking away. No, we've got deep roots. We know how to wait and not lose our faith. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, strengthen us in our waiting. Can you lift your hands and just say with me, Lord, today, help me to know how to wait. Give me the wisdom to not step ahead of you or get behind you, but to stay in lockstep with you. Keep me in the epicenter of your will. Now give to him that decision you're having to make. Give to him the most important decision you're having to make right now. There is a number one decision. There's something really on your mind. You're seeking his guidance about. Give it to him and say, Lord, I'm not going to budge until the water is clear. I trust you to isolate and highlight for me the will of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. A verse comes to me as we close. Psalms 46:10. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Just get quiet before the Lord. Patiently. And he's going to guide you. If you needed this today, give the Lord a hand of praise. Can you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.